You know what? God is looking for those who want to be and have that desire and the fire to be atmosphere changers. Atmosphere changers. You know, because he's actually called us to make a difference everywhere that we go. He's called us to release a difference. And if you will do it, just turn with me to Matthew 18. We're going to go into Matthew 18. Hallelujah. I've had so many conversations this week that concern this subject. So we're just going to address it as a church. But I think I want you to know that what I'm going to speak and how we're going to speak, probably some of these things you've never ever heard before. So don't miss it because you think you've already heard it. Okay. Because God is, he's looking for those who want to be the glory. When we're singing that song earlier where it says, I see the glory, I see the glory. I was actually saying, I be the glory. I'm choosing to be the glory. Why? Because that's what God is putting in us. He's putting that power, that authority in you. And then when you're practicing to be the light everywhere that you go, the glory will be released. And so we have opportunity to do that in so many different ways in our life. But I want to just make it somewhat practical today, because as we're releasing here, we're going to be learning how to totally wipe out what the devil has intended for evil in your life. That's right. That's a good amen spot. Ephesians 4, and you don't have to turn there, but Ephesians 4:27 says to not give him any place, not to give him any room. Okay, because we are the ones who have the authority whether or not we're going to give the enemy a place in our life. We have the authority to say and to do how God wants us to do, and we can choose that, but many times it's a choice. Hallelujah. So let's look here. And then, verse 21, then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. And we look at that and we think, well, you know, I think he was expecting the Lord was going to be impressed with how holy he was. He was responding to what the Lord had already said, and he said, hey, man, you know, check this out. I'm willing to forgive somebody up to 7 times, even in the same day. Wow. I'm going to be holy. And then the Lord said, but now I want you to do it 7 times 70. For this reason, let's see, that Jesus said, I did not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. And you know what's awesome? I can read. So for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he began to settle them, there was one brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, they used 10,000 talents, and I want you to understand the enormity of that number. In other words, that 10,000 was the largest number that they knew how to deal with at that moment. And then a talent was the largest denomination that they knew how to deal with. So like that was like be like us saying 10,000 trillions. Okay? In other words, the whole tribute from an entire country was 200 talents. That gives you a perspective on how much was owed here. So here he says, but since he did not have the means to repay, I'm sorry, well, I lost my place there. But since he did not have to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. He's not going to get there. And the slave, therefore, falling down, prostrating himself before them, crying, said, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave, who felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. released him, and forgave him the debt. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who had owed him 100 denarii, one day's wage, and seized him and began to choke him and saying, pay back what you owe. And he was unwilling, however, but it went, saying, the fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. He was unwilling, however, but went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. And his lord said, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed. And so shall my heavenly Father do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. So it's a serious thing, but at the same time, what it is a glorious thing. Because see, what we have to understand is that this man owed a debt that could not be paid. How many of you have owed a debt that you could not pay? How many currently owe a debt that you cannot pay? Okay, reality is, when I ask you this, every hand should be going up. Because we all owe a debt that we cannot pay. Because we cannot earn, we cannot pay our way to a salvation. We cannot pay for our sins ourselves. We cannot pay this amount. We cannot, having an appreciation for the debt that has been owed is your ticket to understand how to actually forgive. It's your ticket to understand how to come into an alignment with what the Father God has already established in your life. Understanding what you have owed and been forgiven of. See, that's what the man missed here was the opportunity. When that slave came and he received mercy, he received something that was very, very precious. He received mercy. He received grace. But then he didn't measure it out. He didn't measure it out. What he received was an opportunity. Because what he actually encountered, what he's showing here is that he encountered the Father. And what upset the Lord was that somebody who had encountered him didn't also represent him. Didn't represent him. See, we want to receive salvation. We want to receive these things from the Lord, and we should, and it's all well and good. But what he has for us is not only that mission, but he also calls us to evangelize with that same mission, with that same heart. Because see, what you have in your power and in your hands is the opportunity to be the ultimate evangelist with that information. When somebody comes and they harm you, now you have the ability to show them what the Father really looks like. So somebody who's never seen the Father gets to experience the Father. Somebody who's never experienced love gets to receive love, even if they don't deserve it. Because I didn't deserve it when the Father saved me. I didn't deserve it when the Father said, hey, Chuck, I'll receive your heart here. I didn't deserve to be forgiven for those things that I'd already done, much less the things I've done since that moment. Don't forget that, you know, God's forgiveness didn't stop at the moment you got saved. Thank you, Jesus. For a long time, I just thought, you know, everything was covered up to the moment I got saved. And then after that, I was on my own and I had to earn it. And I've come to realize there's this thing called grace. And that grace comes into my life. That grace comes into my life to deal with those things that have happened since I got saved. Because I would like to tell you I was perfect, but that ain't happening. Carlos can testify later at the next meeting how that looks. Hallelujah. Don't do too much testifying, Brother. There you go. Okay. So what I want you to understand is that we've all owed a debt that we could not pay. But we have the opportunity to share God's heart with those who've come to hurt us, those who have come to offend us. And we can quit that way. When we begin to see it this way, now it becomes an opportunity instead of a curse. It becomes an opportunity instead of a hurt and an offense. It becomes an opportunity instead of something that is only there to weigh us down. It's a moment where we can begin to share what the gospel really is to somebody. In other words, we get an opportunity to be the glory. It's His heart. It's His heart for us to be the glory. I love what Pastor Justin was sharing about identity earlier. I wish you could have all heard it. But the same, when we understand our identity in Christ, when we understand the light that is in us, now that light has somewhere that has been dark that it can go to. You know, it's all well and good to just, you know, I mean, we can love on one another right here in church, and it's all well and good. And then we got to go to our job, and we got to face that boss who just doesn't want to cooperate. Or that coworker who wants to sit next to you and just murmur in your ear all day. Or whatever it is. It might be your spouse. Thank you. That's awesome. See, it truly takes the courage and the purpose of God in your heart to forgive the way He wants you to forgive. But it's a call each and every one of us has. Because see, that's how the gospel gets spread. It's not spread by one person just being nicey-nicey to somebody else who's being nicey-nicey to them. It's spread because we look different than the guy who's not being nicey-nicey. Because we can testify with our action far greater than anything that we're going to do with our word. Oh. Unforgiveness, staying in a place of hurt and unforgiveness sets you up for so many things that the devil just gets in and starts twisting on. He gets in and he starts making you feel like you don't matter. He starts making you feel like everything that you're not important. He begins to take away all your vision and all your future and all your and everything that's going on in front of you. Wow. All because why? Because we have something that keeps eating at us and we let it. Hello? I didn't hear any amen. Because you have a choice. You don't have to let it. I'm not saying it's always fun. I am saying that it's the gospel. I looked at that last sentence and I was like, Lord, there's got to be a way that's just not in there. That part where he says, and so shall my heavenly Father do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. I was like, Lord, there's got to be some way that's really not. I mean, I know your heart, and that just doesn't sound like all of your heart here. But see, what it actually is it's His justice. Because He's just above all things. He's holy, and He's calling us to be holy like He's holy. He's calling us to be just like He's just. And if we'll be holy and just like He's just, then the forgiveness will just flow. It's no longer something that I need to withhold from somebody. It's something that I can begin to recognize that this is what my Heavenly Father does. And if He's called me to it, then it must be possible for me to do it. And there's no doubt that He called you to it. Let me just give you, I'll give you some scriptures so you can write them down, okay? Those are Johnston's scriptures. Where did I write that? Ephesians 4:32. Colossians 3:13, Matthew 6:14 and 15, Matthew 7:2, and Mark 11:25 and 26. You can look those up, But what he's saying is the one thing. You need to forgive as you've been forgiven. It's rightly judging. It's how we judge correctly. In other words, in his heart, it's his heart for us to be an extension of who he is. And we're an extension of who he is. That comes with the territory. He's not looking for some excuse to exclude you from heaven. He's just looking for you to understand the totalness of what his love actually looks like. Because he wants your love, that love that he's extended to you, to be offered to somebody else so they at least have an option of being able to see who he is. It's what he does. He's not trying to exclude you. He's trying to make sure that you understand what he's given you, the authority he's placed in your heart. So then, let me just take a few moments just to let me give you an example. I've given this, I think, in the early service, but not in this. When we forgive, it's doing more than just releasing you. It also releases the other person. And that should be one of our goals. That should be one of our goals, is to release the other person from where they are. There was a gentleman who came to me for a sozo. And in that sozo, we just began to, his compatriot was, you know, his partner in business did everybody west, or I'm sorry, east of the 45, and he did everybody west of 45. And they were reported to a guy up in Dallas, but this gentleman on the east would continually sabotage his accounts. And then not only was he sabotaging his accounts, but then he was also talking to the boss and telling him all these lies about what was actually going on down here in Houston. And so this gentleman, I'll call him John, came in, and John was about to be fired. He knew that any day he was going to get fired because of the lies that were being told about him. And he was just mad. I don't blame him. When people's security gets stirred up, they get mad. So we just walked through the steps of forgiveness. I think we finished up about 7:30 or 8 o'clock that night as we just forgave, and he actually even began to bless that gentleman. The next morning, he gets a call from this guy on the east side. And said, and it was about 9 o'clock, he said, "I am sorry for what I've been doing to you. I apologize for all the things that I've said and all the sabotage that I've done. And I promise you, I will never sabotage your clients again. And I've already called the boss and told him the lies that I had told you." 7:30 or 8 that night, and then by the Spirit, the Spirit did something in that man's heart, who was never even known that somebody was over there changing an atmosphere over their situation. You have that authority. You have that hope, because see, God has put that lively, godly hope in you, and you have the ability to release it to another. Hallelujah. Let me just speak a little bit. Go with me to Psalm 32 for a moment. Okay. I'm going to go to verse 5. "I acknowledge my sin to thee. My iniquity I did not hide. And I said, I will confess my sin, my transgressions to the Lord. And thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin." Selah. There is a time when, there's lots of times when we will say, we phrase it this way. I tell people to forgive themselves sometimes. Because one of the first people that you most likely are going to have an issue with is actually yourself. You've done something that you created a situation. You regretted it in many, many ways, but you have to release a forgiveness towards yourself. But I want you to understand that when we say that, it's not totally technically correct, because forgiving yourself really is simply appropriating what was already done at the cross. We would be more correct to say, let's appropriate what was done at the cross. Let's come into agreement with what Jesus has already done for us. Because, see, that's the place when we come into agreement. When you got saved, how many of you here are saved? Let's see, do I have every hand? If I don't have every hand, I need you to come see me. Okay, all right. All right, so we got saved. So at the moment that you got saved, all those benefits of the cross went into effect for you. That means that all the, John, thank you. All the yuck, all the old stuff, God has already released forgiveness for. So what I'm doing when I begin to forgive myself is I'm coming and I'm allowing my spirit and my soul to get in alignment with what he already did. Do you realize that almost every defensive mechanism that we have is the result of some level of unforgiveness in our life to somebody else or ourselves? We don't have, if we haven't encountered a hurt, we have no reason for defenses. And the way that it gets plugged into our life is because we didn't release it and let go of it. That's how it gets power. See, what I'm doing today is I'm giving you a position of power over the enemy. Because when you forgive, you are now empowered. The enemy is taken out of power and you are placed in power. When we don't release our past hurts, they begin to have very real presentations in our current life. I had a gentleman that I did a sozo for. It was really fascinating. He came in because he had gone to his pastor, a couple preachers there at his church, and then he went because they sent him to a shrink, and they determined that he was sane. And then he went to a priest who told him he needed an exorcism, but didn't do the exorcism. And he had this little Civil War guy on his shoulder, 24/7, speaking stuff into his ear, speaking yuck into his ear, telling him to do things, making suggestions, making lewd remarks, all that stuff. And this had been going on for over a year. And, you know, he was trying his best to rebuke it. He didn't know what to do with it. And apparently, all the spiritual authorities around him weren't helping him. So we just did sozo. And my first question was for him was, what hurt you? What hurt you? When I asked him, what hurt you, that then his response was, well, about 2 years ago, I had a year where his mom had died, his daughter had died, a cousin he was close to had died, and then their niece had died. And basically, all these people were very close to him. And he just began to have this hurt inside because he's one of those people who just stuffs it. He didn't know what to do with it, so he just stuffed it down. And then shortly after that is when the manifestations started happening. You see, what those other people didn't understand is this manifestation was simply a fruit of the problem. It's not the problem. So when we began to minister into this place and begin and to allow him to find a place of peace and healing and to forgive God. Now, God didn't do anything to him, but he believed God did. And he also believed God would not help him. Matter of fact, this thing, the very first thing that he had ever told him was that God won't help you. And he believed it. So we broke off all those lies off of his system, and we began to release healing and truth into his heart. And then after a while, I looked at him and I said, I think you're ready. So I want you to just get up, and I want you to walk around, and just, because he could see it most when he would walk. He was always hearing it, but I want him to hear it and see it. And then I told him, now, I said, your heart is clear. You tell it to go. And it did. And then I said, the authority for this has always been in you. It was just waiting for you to tap into it. See, he needed to understand he had the authority so that if anything else ever tried to develop, he could actually know how it was going to go away. Because the authority rests in each and every one of you. When you begin to express forgiveness, when you begin to express and release the hurts and the pains, then there is nowhere else for the devil to camp in your life. And when that happens, now you have the authority to do what Christ in you is going to do anyway. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He wants to release himself into your world. He does that because we come into agreement with him. He does that because we allow him to minister through us. We allow his heart to be made manifest in our heart. When we allow our will to be lined up with his will, now all of a sudden we can start looking like Christ and shining the light wherever we are. You have the authority. Clint, it's on you. It's on you. The authority exists in your heart, George. It doesn't, you know what? In that little deliverance session, there wasn't any screaming. I didn't get hoarse. I whispered the whole time. And it wasn't anything that any one of you couldn't have done. By simply identifying his hurt and allowing God to bring healing and truth for that hurt. Yes.